Once again, we are witnesses to a disaster, and we cannot help but ask ourselves, how should a Christian respond? We respond, let me share just a few thoughts about that tonight, we respond with awe at the mighty power of God, who is stronger than Katrina or any other hurricane of any category, the sovereign Lord who rides the clouds of the heavens, is the one who makes the stormy wind fulfill his word. We respond with sorrow, grieving the dead. What images of death we have seen in this past week, and what stories of grievous loss. We weep for the man whose wife slipped from his grasp as she was telling him to care for their children and grandchildren. We weep for the dead grandmother under the blanket at the convention center. We grieve for the bodies we saw floating in the streets. And we mourn the loss of all the dead whom we will never know. People trapped in their homes for too long, waiting for medical care that could not reach them before they died. And who in most cases are still waiting for the dignity of a decent burial. And so we respond with sorrow. We respond with humility, acknowledging the limits of human competence. Many people are angry today, and for many reasons. There are so many people to blame. Those who didn't evacuate, or who didn't spend the money to build a bigger levee, or who didn't develop a better disaster plan or provide help sooner, on it goes. Anger usually comes when people's expectations go unmet. And this is a country with high expectations, in which many people expected more. We are all entitled to our opinions, but we should also see the frailty of the human condition in all of this, how weak we are in the aftermath of a hurricane. We casually put our confidence in modern telecommunications, in our insurance coverage, in the ability of our government to do something about a disaster. But how easy it now seems to end up in a situation, even right here in America, where there is nothing that anyone can do to help. And how quickly that situation becomes totally desperate. Who will ever now forget the squalor of the Superdome, or the utter frustration of seeing people with needs that are so easily met if only we could get the help where it was needed? And so we respond with humility, acknowledging the limits of human competence. We respond with pity, knowing that the depravity we have witnessed is common to us all. How bitterly disappointing it has been to see all of the violence and anarchy in New Orleans, the looting, the raping, at times the almost complete breakdown of human society. Surely the aftermath of this storm has brought out the very worst in human nature. But then, if we think about it with pity in our hearts, what would we expect from people fighting for their very lives, who no longer have any outward restraint on their sinful desires? What a pitiable exhibition it is of the depravity of the human heart. And what great need we all have of a Savior who may deliver us on the day of destruction. We respond as well, I think, with indignation, seeing that the poor have suffered more greatly than the rich. Now, it is true, hurricanes are indiscriminate in their destruction, raining devastation on everyone in their path. Almost no one in the Gulf Coast has gone unscathed. But it would seem that many more of the poor were left behind, in many cases because they didn't have a vehicle that could get them out of town or the money to get on a bus or an airplane. The righteous will see the structure of injustice behind this disproportionate suffering of the poor. Yet at the same time, we respond with trust, believing that God is working His purposes out for our nation and our world. And yet this is not to say that we know what those purposes are. Is Katrina God's judgment on America, as some have said, His punishment for an unjust war in Iraq? Or is it perhaps instead His wrath against the casino towns of Mississippi and the wanton depravity of New Orleans? Others have said that. But if that is the reason for all this destruction, then what shall we say about all the other godless cities in this country, including our own? And what shall we say about all the godly people whose lives have also been lost, and all the faithful churches that have been destroyed? These are questions better left to God, who alone has the right to say what justice and what mercy He will show. And then finally, and most importantly, surely, we respond with compassion, helping those who suffer and who will suffer. Now, there are many things that people can learn from Katrina. They can see the awesome power of God in nature. They can see the frailty and fragility of human life. They can see the limits of human competence, the wicked depravity of the human heart. But they can only see the grace of God if people reach out to help them in the name of Christ. This week we have seen many heroic and hope-giving examples of human courage. And now it becomes our turn to help. To begin with, 10th Presbyterian Church is encouraging its members to give generously to the Disaster Relief Agency of the Presbyterian Church in America. You can find some of the contact information about that in the bulletin this evening. We're also encouraging people to support the work of World Relief. That's another mission agency supported by 10th Presbyterian Church, also receiving donations to help. Let me say that I have some concern that, like 9/11, this most recent disaster may have a very negative impact on other Christian ministries. To that end, I urge, particularly now I'm speaking to the members of this church, to make sacrificial gifts over and above your regular tithing to the church and your regular giving to other Christian organizations. And we would hope and pray that we would not see some of the difficulties that we saw after 9/11. Soon there will be much more work for us to do. We will be working with our denomination to help identify one or more PCA congregations with which we'd like to have a partnering relationship to help in the months and perhaps the years to come. If possible, we will send out work teams already this fall. Let me encourage you to look at your schedule to see if you have time to donate or if perhaps you can persuade your employer to give you time to participate in what surely must be a national effort. And we will also give you more information about the city of Philadelphia's plans to house up to 1,000 refugee families. Surely there is some way for us to participate in that. Be ready to open your home and your heart to people in need, just as your Heavenly Father has opened His home and His heart to you.